In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to Red State Talent Program. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me here in a couple minutes. Please visit the show's website at redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. Which contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, at Roku, and a dozen other websites. List of the station using our Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen anytime using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing the following. For Studio A, 605-562-4209, and for Studio B, 518-712-0045. Before we start the show, let's give a shout-out to our AM and FM and digital affiliates, WDDQ, FM 92.1, 8L, Georgia, WSFB, 1490 AM, Talk 97.7 FM, Quitman, Georgia, WJNW, AM 1650, Hermitage, Tennessee, Talk Radio, AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona, WMQL, Radio FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina, Coffin County Talk Radio, AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas, Texpro Radio Gainesville, Georgia, WCNR Digital, West Virginia, and K98Talk.com. With that, let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how you doing today, sir?
Well, the sun is shining. Different than what it was yesterday and the day before.
Yes, yeah, shining here, and we only got just a skip of snow, just enough to cover the ground and the roads, and it was not a problem here at all, really. But back home where I'm from, they got 8.5 inches. Jeez. So,
a fall at Tennessee?
Yeah. Yeah. I hadn't talked to my sister, but I saw a post from Facebook from someone back home, and they had their ruler out there, their yardstick, showing 8.5 inches at their, outside their house. So, and that was the morning. So I don't know what the total deal was. But, you know, the thing was is, LaFalle's not that far from Knoxville, and Knoxville only got just a skip, kind of like we did. So apparently, it just once it got past Knoxville, boom, started whatever.
Started it dumped a bunch going up the East Coast, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, and I mentioned, we've talked about this before we're on the air. I heard reports of 40 inches in West Virginia. And also, I posted a video on Facebook for the folks who follow me on Facebook of a ice flow in New Jersey, going down the streets of New Jersey. Apparently.
I saw it.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know. And then winds, too. They say that up north, they're getting literally level one hurricane winds 85, 90, 95 miles an hour winds. So that gives you blizzard conditions, essentially, because it's just blowing snow all over the place and you can't see anything.
Let's give our shout out to the guys that are guarding the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. They do this stuff.
Oh yeah.
They're out there 24/7 and they want to be.
Oh yeah, they consider it a great honor, and it is a great honor. It's that's amazing we do that. That's the kind of country, you know what? That's the kind of country we are. People forget that sometimes, I think.
They do. Of course they do.
Everybody's so tore up about the Kardashians and whatever else going on.
But that's the reason we do this show, Primo. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's for the country that does that kind of thing.
A matter of fact, I want to just give a hat tip to someone recently left the network, David Zublik, from host of America Talks, which won, by the way, the 2015 Talk Show of the Year Award here at Red State Talk Radio. He has decided to hang up his cleats. He has he's quit his show. Now, here's the thing. David has done his show since 1999. You know, we've been doing this for over 7 years, Ken. David's been doing it since 1999. Now, I'm not sure how many years that is, but it's a lot longer we've been doing it, that's for sure. And he is finally... Like I say, he's retiring, so to speak, I guess. He has his own business, and he has a kind of a job, and he has a couple other businesses. Yes, so he's like me. He's got his hands full. He's got plenty of stuff to do. It's not like he had to do the show to keep busy. That was not the case. But I want to congratulate him for a job well done. He's always been one of our top rated shows, and he has always had not only loyal listeners, but he's always done a good quality show. I admire him in a lot of ways, and professional. He's been doing it so long, he really knows how to do a show. I mean, he's not like us. He actually knows what the hell he's doing. What's that?
He doesn't wing it like we do.
He doesn't wing it like we do every damn week. He actually kind of plans this stuff out and has all, I mean, he literally has all his bumpers all set up. And I mean, he just does a professional show, does a good job. And of course, he was on AM&F or AM station for a long time, you know. So,
and then, I think we should change our name, Primo.
What's that? What should we do?
It's the Right Wing It Show.
The right Wing It Show. That'd be pretty close. People don't know how much I actually do prepare show notes, and Ken and I, you know, I send those to Ken every week, and then we kind of go over it, and if Ken's got something he wants to add, he'll let me know, and we kind of do that. But like I've said before, like today, we've got 8 show notes, 8 topics I want to bring up. We might do 4 or 5, and we will probably get off on a tangent on something at some point, and we'll completely blow the list, you know. But
well, we used to do an hour and a half show.
Yeah, that's true.
And live, you know, so people could call in. So we had more time. So we're down to an hour. It seems like it just flies by. So
yeah, it does fly by. So speaking of that, we need to get started. We talked enough. I was going to bring something else up, but I'm not going to bring it up. Let's go ahead. Let's just talk about this. First article that we're going to talk about is from the American Thinker. It's on the website, redstatetalkradio.com. And we're not going to talk a whole lot about this, but I'm just going to mention it because I'd like everyone to take a look at it. It's why the media does not want you to see 13 Hours. That's the Benghazi movie. It's been doing pretty good at the box office. I've seen it. Have you seen it yet, Ken?
I have not seen it yet, but I remember what you said, that you left the theater being pissed off.
I was pissed off where I went in there, but I left the theater being more pissed off because here's one thing I love about the movie. At the very beginning of the movie, you know how they always say this film is based on a true story or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say that. It says this story is true. It doesn't say it's based on a true story. It says this story is true. And there's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Michael Bay, I've read and seen several interviews that Michael Bay, the director of the movie, he went to great pains to get this exactly the way it happened according to the guys that were on the ground that night. You know, three of the guys that survived, the quote, soldiers, the CIA guys, the special ops guys, those three guys, they wrote a book about this, and it's not based on the book, but really he took everything from the book and from these three guys, and they sit there and painstakingly made sure it was as close to the real thing as possible. And if you go into this movie and watch this and you're not pissed off, there's something wrong with you. I'm telling you. If this doesn't get you... Anybody who would watch... Let me put this way. Anybody who watches this movie and vote for Hillary Clinton, I don't know what the hell to think about you.
Well, it's not just you. It's I've talked to and read on Facebook and other places people have seen the movie and they feel the same way you do.
Yeah. It's so read the article, find out why you should go see this movie and go see it. They deserve, I'd like to see them do really well at the box office so they get rewarded for their efforts. I mean, that's just that's bottom line. That's the thing about stuff like this. And here's the thing. If you don't go see this movie, you're telling people you don't give a damn and don't care. And when you do that, you'll never see another movie like this again. Do you understand what I'm saying there? I mean, you have to support people who tell the truth and people who expose the lies and the crap that's going on in this country.
And not just that, but I think for whatever reason, they did not send help. When you came back and you try to cover it up and you try to blame a video on it, that just compounds it for me.
And then you want to make it worse. A lot of the families, when their coffins are sitting there,
Andrews
Air Force Base.
Yeah, give them a hug and
give them a hug and lie to them. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I get angry just thinking about it.
Well, I think and I've told you this before. I said what they need to do, whoever the nominee is, whoever that is, they need to get the family members, the ones that were lied to, stretch their face, and have them on the news. Have them on the commercials and say, you know, get there and tell me. Just say what you were told and how you were lied to in front of the caskets of your loved
ones. Well, yeah, we've said that. And that needs to be they need to use those as campaign ads. They really should.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be in if Hillary's there. If Hillary does not indicted and has to leave the race, I think even if she is indicted, she's not going to leave the race. She's going to stay in there. But have that. I mean, it should be front and center of your campaign, whoever that person is.
Right. We'll talk about the campaign here in a few minutes. We got a couple more topics I want to cover real quick. There's another article on the website, redstatetalkradio.com, from the American Spectator about reworking the Constitution to save the Constitution. And this is an article that came about because of the Marco Levin's idea of the Convention of the States. We talked about this last week and how Greg Abbott in Texas has kind of taken the lead on this and doing a good job so far. And espousing the reason why this needs to happen. So again, we're not going to discuss this in detail, but check this article out. We work in the Constitution to save the Constitution from the American Spectator. It's a good article and it kind of highlights what's going on in that movement. And I'm hoping that we do actually have a convention of states. And like Mark Levin says, I mean, it's what the Founding Fathers put in the Constitution for us to rein back government and to get states' rights back. And if we don't do this, I think we're screwed. I mean, it's already been proven that the Congress and the administration, at least this administration, don't give a damn what the people think or want. They don't.
And the other side, and I'm going to get on the Republicans here, don't care if they're giving that the Obama a pass.
They're allowing him to do what he's doing.
I mean, it's both sides to me.
Yeah, they could put a stop to this.
I don't really know what's worse. I think probably worse is because the Republicans don't do anything about it. That's really probably the thing that gets me the most.
Well, let me tell you something. I mean, Obama being the narcissist he is, if the Republicans were to threaten impeachment and meant it, he'd stop doing this crap because he does not want to be driven out of office. He wants to finish. But they're so weak-kneed. I am so disappointed in the leadership in the Republican Party. And let me tell you something about Trump. We're going to talk about Trump here more in a minute. But the only person or thing that the Republicans need to blame for the rise of Donald Trump is themselves.
Exactly.
He would not be where he is if they hadn't been such a bunch of cowards.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you know what really gets me is when they say, well, Trump's not a conservative. And I'm like, you're not a conservative. You're talking conservatism, and you don't practice conservatism.
Well, that's a good point. It's just like what's the saying, the pot calling the kettle black?
Yeah.
Is Donald Trump a conservative? I don't really think he is, to be honest with you. He is on some issues, but he's not on some others. And do you have to be a conservative on every single issue? No, but I think Trump's got a lot bigger problems than some people think he does. That being said, the people who are pointing the fingers, hell, who the hell are you to be talking?
This is funny to me how when these campaigns kick up every 2 and 4 years, that in 6 years, that they all talk conservatively. You know, conservatism is huge because they know, I've got to get the base. I've got to talk this way just to get elected. But so it is important that you have to speak.
Well, what they always do, Ken, and you know this, they go to the right and talk more conservatively than they normally do to get the base. So they get the primary. So they win the primary. Once they win the primary, they like screw the base.
Yeah.
And now I need to go toward the middle.
Moderate.
Go toward the left and try to get some of those moderates and independents in.
Yep.
But what happens is when they do that, they lose the base in the general election, the idiots. Yep. You cannot win the White House or any election if you don't have the base of your party. You got to keep the base. Now, do you have to try to get some of the people in the middle? Yeah, you do. But you know what? You don't do it by abandoning your principles. You stick with your principles, your conservative principles, and you do what Ronald Reagan did, is convince people in the middle that you had the right philosophy. You had the right way of doing things. You convince people, you don't capitulate. Drives me nuts.
And look what he did. It's the second time around. 49 out of 50 states. I mean,
well, the first time he won like 44 states, I think it was. And then, like you say, 49 states the second time around. I mean, he convinced basically everybody. At least, you know, at least the majority of the people. enough to win those 49 states. Good Lord.
I guess that's why, you know, I want Ted Cruz because Ted Cruz practices what he preaches. And he has shown that. He doesn't just speak the speak and not walk the walk. He does both, and he has done both. Even when he was outgunned, he still did it. And I'm thinking, this is a man that's going to do that. That's why I support Ted Cruz. Now, if Trump is the nominee, I hope and pray that he's conservative as he talks. I don't know. I'm going to vote for him no matter, regardless, because he's my best shot for conservatism. But – I'd rather have Cruz.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is Donald Trump conservative on the immigration issue? Yep. Is just about as much as anybody. Is he conservative on, let's see, what else? You could definitely say he's being conservative about besides the immigration issue. That's really the big one. But, I mean, there's, well, when it comes to the economy and stuff, I think pretty much, you know, for the most part, yeah. But he has very liberal positions on some other issues, and I hate to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, but he's not telling the truth on some of the stuff. He's just saying what he thinks he needs to say to get elected. This guy has been like, for example, he's not pro-life. He's pro-choice. He's been pro-choice. Matter of fact, I saw some video the other day where he said he was definitely pro-choice. Now, of course, he could change his mind, Trump's been doing that a lot here lately, which that scares me a little bit. But secondly, I mean, he was so far pro-choice, he didn't have a problem with late-term abortions. He thought that was okay. That's not a conservative position by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it's not.
And there are other things, too. I mean, and here's the thing, and we're going to talk about this again. We're kind of getting off track a little bit here, but the conservative elite in Washington, a lot of them have made their mind up that Trump's okay, and he's better than Cruz, and he's better than Cruz because they look at Cruz and they go, this guy will not compromise. He's a true conservative. So we need someone to keep the gravy train running, and we think we can deal with Donald, and we can negotiate with Donald because he loves to negotiate, and we can make deals. He loves to make deals. And so I think they've realized that he's the better option for them to retain power.
That's exactly why I want Cruz.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to come back to that in a minute, but let me move on to something else I want to be sure and get out of the way here. Hillary Clinton's email server scandal has gotten – it's been jumped up a notch last week or so.
I was shocked. Aren't you shocked that there's nothing been – I mean, that nothing's been done about this? Is it like a volcano ready to explode?
I hope you're right. It's a volcano about to explode all over her pantsuit.
Here it comes.
The Daily Caller has reported, and it's been reported by several other media outlets, that they have found the highest classification of emails on Hillary's private server, what they call SAPs. And these are higher kin than even top secret.
Yeah, so I heard.
And not only are these things on her email server, there's one that has to do with people who are undercover and stuff like that. And, I mean, people's lives could be in jeopardy because of what was on the server. And the thing is, you know the Russians and the Chinese have all this stuff because that server, like I told you, I actually did a security check on her server back when it was still up and running, and it didn't pass even your basic security test that I ran.
To me, you're putting the whole nation at risk. You should be in jail, woman, for that alone. Let's forget Benghazi and the other stuff you've done. Let's just say that you've had our classified information on a private server. Are you nuts?
Well, here's the thing: if the private server had good security, it'd still be a violation of the law. But at least she would have gone to the trouble of making sure her server had adequate security. I mean, this thing did not have – I mean, I'm telling you, Ken, it didn't even have basic security. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, I ran several tests, and I'm not kidding you. I ran like about six, seven different tests, and it only passed like four of them.
This woman has no business being running for president. She should be behind bars. At right now, this minute.
Well, she should be already indicted. She should already be. Now she might be out on bail, but she should already have federal charges pending.
Oh, let's look at Nixon. Nixon resigned over Watergate, a break-in, Watergate. Are you kidding me?
18 minutes worth of tape versus 30-some thousand emails.
I mean, it's not even you can't even compare them. There's no comparison. It's not even close.
I know.
I I cannot see anyone in their right mind voting for her. I know there's a lot of people that are not in their right mind, but
yeah. Well, like General Petraeus right now, the Obama administration is wanting to make sure he doesn't talk about Benghazi, and they're threatening to take one of his stars out of his retirement. So
because of Benghazi?
That's the theory, is that the reason they're doing this is he's already been punished. He's already found guilty. He's already done what he needs to do in terms of what the courts wanted him to do. But they're talking about reducing one of his, from his, I think he's a 4-star general, 3-star general, whatever. They're wanting to reduce one of his stars to hurt him in the pocketbook and to hurt his legacy in order just to keep him quiet, is what the theory is. Like, in other words, why else would you do it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the thing. What he did is nothing compared to what Hillary Clinton's done.
Yeah.
And yet she's still walking around free and running for a freaking president.
It's asinine.
It's nuts. We're running late. Jeez. Let's go to break. When we come back, we got plenty more to talk about. Stick with us. We're going to talk about the Bush blame game. We're going to talk about Trump. Several articles about Trump. We're going to talk about the Palin endorsement, the Glenn Beck endorsement, and a special surprise about a new independent run for the White House. This just came out in the New York Times. We'll talk about that when we come back. So stick with us. This is the Red State Town Hall. We'll be back in just a few moments. Red State Talk Radio,
WRS Cleveland. Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. The mainstream media has failed the American people once again. Internet radio networks like Red State Talk Radio will not fail you. Tune in 24 hours a day, studios A and B. Great conservative programming around the clock. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in internet conservative talk radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
Tired of the same old blah, blah, blah of traditional conservative talk radio?
We know that under the 99% rate, the U.S. economy is
Then tune in to New Media's Talk Monster for grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio, Red State Talk Radio.
What if all wartime spending is paid for through the deceitful and evil process of inflating and borrowing?
WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedes now. Call 800-554-7159 and get your free bottle. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-7159. That's 800-554-7159.
Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the New Media's Talk Monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio. WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
commerce.
Okay, we're back. Real quick. There's an article from Politico on the website, redstatetalkradio.com, about the Bush blame game is beginning now. They're starting to make all kinds of excuses, and good for them. This guy has no chance, and like I've said before, the next debate needs to have three, at max, four people on it, period. We need to start cutting the, separate the men from the boys, so to speak.
Unless there's some kind of craziness come out of Iowa, like happened last time. What's his face? That
still there?
I hit the wrong button. Who's the guy in Pennsylvania?
Santorum.
Santorum. I mean, he came out of nowhere, actually won Iowa. No one knew it till what, 3 or 4 days later?
Right.
Later. But I mean, unless something happens craziness, some craziness like that comes out of Iowa that shakes things up a little bit. But I agree with you. Three people, that's bad enough.
Well, I'm thinking the way it looks now, I mean, I'm pretty sure Cruz going to win Iowa. Trump is way ahead in New Hampshire, so that's, the next question is what happens in South Carolina. And South Carolina is going to be an indication of what's going to happen on Super Tuesday a week or two later, where there will be a lot of southern states.
Trump is the, everybody's kind of focused on him. He sucks the air out of the room, all that stuff. But the last time around, it was Herman, then it was Gingrich, and it just kind of flipped. Everybody, there was a new leader every
something. Yeah, everybody took their turn for a while there. That's true.
I wonder if we're going to experience something like that, or not. I don't think we will, but it may be a Cruz-Trump kind of flip-flop. We'll see.
Well, what happened last time, I mean, just to refresh everybody's memory, the bottom line is if you're not doing well by South Carolina – after South Carolina's over with, you're probably going to drop out of the race. And what happened to me is, of course, I was a Herman Cain supporter, and he was gone. Newt Gingrich was gone. Rick Perry was gone. I didn't have much of a choice when it came to my primary election here in Tennessee. I'm pretty sure I voted for Rick Santorum because. And I'm not a real big Rick Santorum fan, but he was about all that was left.
Yeah.
That was conservative. I wasn't going to vote for anyone else. So, and I hated that. but that's what happens is after the first three or four primaries, well, actually three, normally after three primaries, the field's been whittled down to almost nothing. And that's going to happen this time. The only person that can, I think, has the money to stay in past South Carolina is Bush. He can stay in as long as he wants. He's got the money. Because he was the early front runner, got a lot of campaign contributions. And matter of fact, the thing is, if he had waited longer to get into the race and Trump had beat him to it, which Trump, I think, got in the next day or something like that. But he wouldn't be in this position, and he would already be out of the race, probably. He got a lot of money that would have went to Trump if Trump had let be known what he was going to do earlier. Speaking of Trump, there's an article. There's been several articles about Trump in the last few days. One of them is an article on the Daily Caller that someone went through the voting records in New York, and they said that Trump has never voted in a Republican primary. Now, he's probably voted in the general election. And there's another article came out that said that he's been a Republican since 88, which I'm not so sure about that one. But because I know he's been a Democrat before, and he's been an independent. Of course, now he's a Republican. And I was thinking his Republican conversion was a lot less than 88. Maybe I'm wrong, but who knows? But the thing is with Trump, here's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. A, he's not a true conservative, and B, I'm not even sure if he's Republican, even though he may be registered as one. Trump is whatever he needs to be. He talks about this all the time, about buying politicians. Matter of fact, I saw another post about Trump. Guess who the largest donation Trump has ever given to a politician? Guess who it was?
A Democrat?
No. And actually, it's been pretty soon. It's not been that far back. Mitch McConnell, Republican senator.
Oh, really?
Now, Mitch McConnell just happens to be, majority leader in the Senate. And I'm thinking Trump sits there and is thinking, well, I'm going to need this. If I win, I'm going to need this guy. So what does he do? Gives him a large donation. He gave a large donation personally and a large donation to his PAC. Now, first of all, Ken, would you ever in a million years give money to Mitch McConnell?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either. Is Mitch McConnell not part of the problem?
Well, that's what Trump is good at. Trump is good at getting his way. And the way he gets his way by schmoozing with
whoever's in power.
Power, yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, when you give that kind of money, guess what? Your phone calls get answered. Now, let me ask you, Ken, if you were to call your two centers in Georgia, do you think you'd get a call back, or would they even answer the phone?
Oh, the phone would be answered by somebody.
By somebody. But do you think you get past the somebody to your center?
No.
That's not going to happen.
Unless
you're a big donor. If your name was Ken Brown and you gave whatever the maximum amount was to his PAC or him personally, he would take your phone call. Because the people that answer the phone have a list of all the big donors right there. Mm-hmm. And you say, this is Ken Brown, and I'd like to speak to Senator so-and-so. And they're going to put you through and or at least get the message to him, and he'll call you back.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you give money like that, that gives you access to the candidate, to your senator, to your congressman. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to do what you tell them to do, but let's be honest. Don't you think that happens a bunch?
Of course.
Especially when a bunch of donors get together and give you a call. You don't think these donors know who each other are, and you don't think they talk on the phone, and you don't think that they say, hey, we need to put a stop to this. You give McConnell a call. I'll give him a call. We'll get everybody here to give him a call, and we'll make sure he does the right thing. You don't think that happens?
All the time.
Now, speaking of Trump again, this is this kind of major news. The National Review, which is a big conservative magazine, It has it's an online edition, and we have a lot of articles posted from the National Review on the website. Founded by William F. Buckley, who's maybe the father of modern conservatism, to be honest with you. The front cover says against Trump. And they have some 21 or 22, I think, people from all across the conservative spectrum pen articles about why conservatism doesn't need Trump and why they now no one endorsed anybody, at least during in this magazine and during the articles. But they all said that basically Trump is not the guy, because they all pointed out that, like I've been saying and a lot of people have been suspecting, he's not a true conservative. Now, he is conservative on some issues, but he's, like when it comes to going after ISIS, I like what he's got to say. When it comes to the border and building the fence, I like what Trump's got to say. But there's a lot of stuff I'm not so sure about, and I'm not so sure that he knows really what he thinks about some stuff. But
I agree with that part. I think that's what's. I think you're right. I think he goes with the flow sometimes. It's kind of weird to me that you don't even have a stance until you get into it and think, okay, how is this going to best benefit me? Or I don't know. Is the deal maker? You know?
Yeah, the deal maker. It's always the art of the deal. And he says some stuff now. He's entertaining as hell. We've said this before. He's entertaining as hell, and I'm glad he's in the race just for the entertainment factor alone. But he says some stuff that doesn't really sound presidential. Did you hear the one that he said this last day or two when he was talking about how much his people supported him? That he said, I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody. My voters and my supporters wouldn't care. They would still love me.
You know, that's the diehard Trump fans. Yeah, I think he's right.
Well, I don't doubt that he's right. But my question is, do we want a commander-in-chief, a president of the United States talking like that?
I know. Well, look at what we got.
Well, look at what we're about to get if we don't stop this guy. I mean, and I don't, again, I don't have anything per se against the guy. I just don't think he's just who he says he is and who he wants people to believe he is.
It's a double-edged sword in my book. I don't know how to take him sometimes, but I do know that he's brought attention to the Republican Party, and people have listened in on debates that never would have listened to the debates before.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. You're exactly right. I mean,
we've got people that are now pumped up about politics that weren't pumped up about politics before. And I think that, you know, that can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. I don't know. I really don't know. But I have to look at it as a blessing in disguise, because maybe some people will be turned on to Cruz that never would have been exposed to him otherwise.
Well, yeah, like we said before, maybe someone tunes into the debate because Trump is in the debate and they want to hear what Trump's got to say. Well, guess what? During the debate, believe it or not, Trump doesn't get all the airtime. Cruz gets some, Rubio gets some, you know, whatever. And so maybe they sit there and go, well, that Trump, that was fun. You know, he was pretty good. And, but then they go, that Cruz guy, that Rubio guy, they were pretty good too. You know, and basically he's bringing people to the party who either gave up a long time ago and are coming back, or people who've never really given crap about politics until now.
Yeah.
So, you know. Also, a little bit sticking on the same subject, presidential politics. Two endorsements this week, two major endorsements, I guess. Sarah Palin, former governor of Alaska, former vice presidential running mate with John McCain, endorsed Trump this week. She showed up in Iowa. And Trump, of course, being Trump, kind of advertise it that something's going to happen, going to have a very special guest, and blah, blah, blah. And he wouldn't say who it's going to be. And of course, the media went crazy trying to figure out who the hell it was going to be. and they kind of figured out it was Sarah Palin. And of course, it was Sarah Palin. And she gave her endorsement of Trump. And the poll that ran after the endorsement of Trump early in the week showed that Trump went up 6 points And Cruz went down 6 points after the Palin endorsement. So, you know, I guess it Dems are good, I guess, you know. And like you and I talked about before the show, when we were talking just off the air, I'm surprised that Sarah Palin endorsed Trump. I know you are too.
I don't, at this point in the game, yeah. Because she's such a staunch supporter of Cruz, and Cruz has said, you know, he wouldn't be where he is without Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you kind of thought that before the show about she was looking for a cabinet post, you know, that there's a.
I think she's read the tea leaves, and she's, in her mind, she thinks Trump's going to win it all. And let's face it, she's not on Fox News anymore. She's not doing her reality show anymore. I'm not sure what she's doing for a living anymore. She's not in politics. She's not running for office. She's not in office. And I'm thinking she's thinking Trump's going to be the guy. And so I'll endorse Trump and maybe I'll get a cabinet position out of the deal. Now, I hate to say that, but I think that's just absolutely true.
I don't know. I just don't understand. Maybe that's the reason I don't understand, because I think it's a little too early to be throwing your backing behind somebody, especially when I mean, if it's just a real clear conservative person in the race and no one else is that conservative. But this is kind of early. Maybe you're right.
Well, another endorsement this week was Glenn Beck, which used to be on Fox News. He has his own Blaze TV channel and still popular, still does a radio show and stuff and has a lot of fans. I don't think he's as popular as he once was, but he's in the top, I guess, 4 or 5 radio hosts in the country. He endorsed Cruz this last day or so, I think yesterday maybe. There's been no polls come out since then, so we don't know if this is going to help Cruz or not. Now, Glenn Beck does have a faithful following. He does have people who are just, you know, crazy about him. And now, I used to like Glenn Beck a lot more than I do now. I've kind of cooled off on Glenn Beck on some stuff because I think he's taken some positions that were a little bit crazy. But that's just me. I mean, that's just me. But back in the day, he was doing some really good stuff and saying some really good stuff, and now I'm not so sure about him in terms of that. But I guess his endorsement doesn't really hurt Cruz. I mean, I don't know. That's yet to be seen, whether or not Cruz will gain any momentum from that. Normally, people don't start doing endorsements until really after the first few primaries, really until after South Carolina or maybe after the Super Tuesday. That's usually when endorsements start coming out. Now, usually newspapers will endorse before, like, for example, in the Iowa papers in Iowa, most of them have already endorsed who they think is the best person in the primary for their state, which that's normal. You'd want to do that before the election. But I'm talking about when it comes to congressmen, senators, governors, celebrities, that kind of thing. Normally they wait until after the first few primaries to see. And really the thing is, it's like everybody likes to back a winner. Nobody likes to back a loser. So normally you wait until you kind of see what's going to happen, you know, or at least get a good idea. Anyway. And now Louie Gohmert, also a congressman in Texas, endorsed Cruz. He posted that he endorsed Cruz. But, you know, that's fine. Louie's a good guy. He's a good conservative. But he's a congressman in Texas. I don't think it really helps Cruz, you know. Cruz is from Texas, so.
Well, that makes sense to me.
It makes sense that he did that, and it's perfectly fine that he go ahead and give his announcement that he's endorsing Cruz.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. I never thought for 1 second that Louie Gohmert was going to endorse Trump or anybody else. That just you know, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be interesting political season. Think about this. Now, here's another. If this political season is not crazy enough, New York Times is reporting that Mike Bloomberg is planning to run as an independent. Now, Bloomberg's a billionaire. He's got as much money as Trump, or maybe more. I guess he probably has more. So he doesn't have to have donations. He can fund his own campaign. He used to be, a long time ago, he was a Democrat. Then he was a Republican, and now he's an independent. And he's thinking about running. Well, that just throws another wrench in the race. Because he's going to, I don't know how many voters he's going to pull off. Will he pull off 1%, 2%, 4%, 5%? I mean, I don't know. I think Bloomberg's entry into the race doesn't make sense unless Hillary gets indicted and she drops out. Then I think you've got a chance of, because think about this. Bernie Sanders, I know, is getting big crowds. He gets big crowds in the Northeast and in college campuses. If Bernie Sanders shows up in Atlanta, Georgia, is he going to get big crowds? I don't think so. If he shows up in Birmingham, Alabama, is he going to get big crowds? I don't think so. If he goes to Nashville, Tennessee, is he going to get big crowds? I don't think so. So I think Bernie's, even though he has better support, and he's beating Hillary in Iowa and New Hampshire right now.
He's a one-trick pony.
I think he's a one-trick pony. That Northeast corridor and college campuses, that's his thing. Because I'm just an avowed socialist is not going to win this election. They're not going to win the primary, and they're not going to win in the general election. But here's the thing. He could get the – if Hillary drops out, I'm thinking Joe Biden jumps in. But Bloomberg could – because Biden's getting in so late and doesn't have the money, Bloomberg, I think, could just – it could be a situation where you have more people voting for an independent than you do the Democratic nominee if Hillary's out. Think about that. That would be something, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm still shocked that she hasn't been indicted yet.
Well, yeah, that's the key word, yet. The FBI supposedly is going to let their findings be known in the next few weeks. So, oh, and by the way, the court ordered Hillary Clinton email server deal where they're supposed to get all these emails out. They're already letting the State Department's already saying they're not going to meet the deadline because of the snow. So, that's all those. All those non-essential employees, you know, that are, I guess.
We had a laugh about that before the show.
Yeah.
What are non-essential employees?
Well, I posted a thing on Facebook that got us both laughing. It was brilliant. It says, with hundreds of thousands of non-essential government employees being not reporting to work because of the snow, should we not be asking the question, why do we have 100,000 non-essential employees?
Good question.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think maybe they should all go home permanently. That's what I think. We're out of time. Jeez, it goes by so fast. You want to take us out, Ken?
If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. We're out of here. We'll see you next time.